Thereupon Bodhisattva Maitreya, wanting to elaborate upon the meaning of this further, spoke these verses. What is Maitreya talking about? If you didn't watch the last video, let me remind you that Maitreya is talking to Shakyamuni Buddha, who just announced and presented all of these bodhisattvas from beneath the earth, emerging from under the earth. And I spoke to you about the metaphor here, the meaning of a seed breaking through the ground to afford, what is the title of this sutra, this teaching? The Lotus Sutra. The example given that a lotus flower comes up from the dirt or a muddy bog, in other words, not an especially glorious looking place, manifests its beauty at the same time as it spawns plants its own seeds for future. But the very fact that it comes from beneath the earth indicates future, right? The lotus doesn't blossom until it's well out of the earth, through the water, into the sky, yeah? And then when it blossoms, it spreads its own seed at the same time. This is a metaphor for all bodhisattvas, but the fact that he specifically says, from beneath the earth emerge these bodhisattvas, he's talking about a future time for future bodhisattvas who will be prepared and they will have time in their time to have developed their practice and their understanding of Buddhism to the degree that they will be able to innately just spread it, propagate it, in comparison to the current crop of bodhisattvas who are all willing but have not yet developed the capacity to simply do it innately with total confidence. And Maitreya is speaking to this, and he's saying, look, you're saying that you have planted these seeds of bodhisattvas for many, many eons, yeah? But you're 40 years old, or you're 42 years, whatever. They're still associating Buddha with the man Shakyamuni. They haven't quite broken through that veil yet, right? They hear and they say, yes, Buddha is an innate quality we all have, but you're it. Which is why they panic when he dies, because they're, what are we going to do when you're gone? Study. The Buddha is not me. It is in you, in everything. It is always extant. You innately can experience it simply. Have confidence in that and awaken that confidence and experience it. They're still not quite there. They hear all these words, but they're still not quite there. So Maitreya is concerned. And he's asking Shakyamuni, saying, you haven't been alive long enough to teach these, you know, 60 times the sand particles in the Ganges River, bodhisattvas in every direction, so on and so forth. You haven't lived long enough to teach all these bodhisattvas. So now all the current bodhisattvas, including myself, were a little nervous that maybe Shakyamuni, he's a little... Shakyamuni's a little delusional. We can't trust everything he says. Oh, man. And Maitreya says, if that's the way you're going to leave it, lots of bodhisattvas are going to start dreaming up stuff on their own, and there are erroneous views, and the teachings are going to be lost because you've broken our confidence. We have a hard time believing you right now. So he's going to repeat this in verse. Thank you for being here. Namo myoho rengeko, namo myoho rengeko, namo myoho rengeko. I'm so proud of you guys for your practice. I know this takes effort. So please know how much I respect with dignity your practice, yeah? So thank you for being here. and take a few seconds to like and subscribe just to help the algorithms of these internet web devices, just to get this resource to more people. Grow the Sangha, yeah? So totally appreciate that. You guys, all the way through those who are able to purchase ebooks, books, patrons on Patreon, PayPal, you guys are, your contributions to this Sangha are incalculable, okay? Okay, so let's see what Maitreya is going to beseech Shakyamuni to explain. Long ago, the Buddha left the household of the Shakya clan. Shakyamuni, right? Muni, great sage from the Shakya clan. The household of the Shakya clan, and approached Gaya, where he sat under the Bodhi tree. Again, he, him, right? It has not been so long since that time, right? You're not that old. The number of Buddha's heirs is incalculable. The people you've influenced and affected, it's immeasurable. There's so many. Yes, absolutely. From long ago, they have practiced the Buddha path and attained transcendent powers and the power of wisdom, right? Wisdom via their Buddha-ness, so Buddha wisdom, if that's what we generally call it these days, yeah? They have thoroughly studied the Bodhisattva path and are as undefiled by worldly affairs as the lotus blossom in the water. There's that analogy or metaphor. They have emerged from out of the earth and all stood respectfully before the Bhagavats. It is difficult to comprehend this matter. How can we possibly believe it? The Buddha attained the path only a short time ago. You were 30 years old when you figured it out. It hasn't been that long since you've been enlightened. How did you teach it to all these people? Yet he has accomplished so much. We entreat you to remove our doubts and give a detailed explanation. Oh, yeah, you're on trial now. According to the truth. It's kind of rude, don't you think? Like, get real with us. Suppose there were a young man, just 25 years of age, who pointed to a 100-year-old man who was wrinkled and had white hair, saying, "This is my offspring." The old man also says, "This is my father." The father is young and the son is old. No one in the world would believe it. You can't blame us for doubting you. The Bhagavat's teaching is exactly like this. He attained the path only a very short time ago, yet these bodhisattvas are firm in resolution and without weak will. They have been practicing the bodhisattva path for immeasurable kalpas. They are skilled at difficult discussions, and their minds are free from fear. They are resolute and persevering. By the way, this is all advice on how we should practice. Take note. I'll repeat it. They are skilled at difficult discussions. Their minds are free from fear. Strong conviction, right? They are resolute and persevering. They are handsome and dignified. Praised by the Buddhas in the Ten Directions, they are good at detailed explanations. They do not want to be among the multitudes, for they always liked being in meditation, and so they lived in the space under the earth in order to seek the Buddha path. That's his impression. Let's see where this goes. Since we heard about this from the Buddha, we have no doubts about it. Well, yes, you do. But still, we entreat you, O Buddha, to expound it and make it clear for the future. Anyone in whom doubts awaken and who does not believe in this sutra will certainly fall into the troubled states of being. the lower worlds, right? Realms. That is why we now entreat you to explain how in such a short time you have led and inspired these innumerable bodhisattvas so that the thought of enlightenment has awakened in them and they abide in the stage of non-retrogression. So, even when Maitreya talks about they've been abiding in meditation from beneath the earth to attain the Buddha way, paraphrasing, he is identifying, as we do in Samsara, that these bodhisattvas have been lying in wait. They've been simmering. But another way to look at that is that the influence of this Shakyamuni in the world being a samsaric embodiment of Buddha-ness, walking the world as the first fully enlightened Buddha influence, not only influenced Maitreya and these others of all levels of learning, of student, monks, men and women, also, and it's hinted at here, we'll talk about it more later, but he's also hinting that that influence isn't just on sentient minds, but of every living being thing, all phenomena, even the earth beneath us, the planet, getting radiated in this Buddha-ness is affected. Just as the namesake of this sutra, the lotus. Remember, Renge stands for, is a symbolic representation of our own mind's enlightenment, our insight, our aha moment. This is why it's part of the song we sing, the mantra we sing. Because to this manifestation from potential, we awaken, we invoke, we instantiate everything. Kyo, enlightenment, dharma, the experience of. Right? It's in the title. So obviously, these bodhisattvas are a representation of those lotuses coming to be. They're marinating in the momentum of life, the cycle, if you will, of birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. Just like a farmer tilling his field, putting the crops back into the soil to for nutrition for the next crop. You rotate your crops so that you can put different products into the soil for the next round. Right? He's not reducing human beings to that, but the analogy, it's really about energy, right? Energy is conserved. Energy never gets lost. It just changes form. From formations to form to dissolution and quiescent energy. No form. Just fodder for the next round of formations to make whatever potential instantiations can be invoked, manifested. Right? That's not reincarnation, because that assumes there's a bag of Bob or a box of Betty and it just keeps coming back in different forms or same form or whatever. That's magical thinking. That's just nonsense. No, from quiescent energy, nothingness, no thing, right? Just energy manifesting in whatever tendencies and conditions it first encounters and then creates or is becomes endemic in its formation, boom, form. Moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. Everything, all the time. And that leads us, obviously, he's asked the question several times. The ground has been prepared. Sorry about the pun. So what do you think the next thing that Shakyamuni is going to do? All right. It's time I break this last little glass ceiling that you guys can't seem to... You perceive it, but you just don't want to get it. So let me break it to you. The next chapter, the lifespan of the Tathagata. Let me just explicitly say it so that you'll hear me say it. Because so far, everything he said, they seem to hear, but there's always this reticence. We need your permission. We need your prediction. We need to. And all the while, Shakyamuni is saying, you don't need anything except your determination, which is what we hear from Nichiren all the time, right? Nichiren must have been reading this thinking, what's wrong with these people? Certainly in his day, right? Not impugning these people from 700 BC or whenever it was. There's a lot of argumentation about that. But just, it just was obvious to Nietzsche, is all I'm saying. People are stubborn. They hang on to their samsaric identity so hard. Yeah, like an addict. That's why I said samsara is like the worst drug ever. Not because you can't live in it, but because you live in it with a condition of anxiety, stress, pain, blah, 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 blah. And you don't have to. At very least, you can greatly minimize it, if not whatever your body's doing with your mind. Buddhism's about the mind. Completely operate, live, exists without that as an obstacle to your full experience of life, the engine of life, yeah? Thereupon the Buddha addressed the Bodhisattvas and the entire great assembly, saying, O sons of a virtuous family, you should believe the true words of the Tathagata. I'm going to lay it on you. And that I'm going to save for the next video. I know this one seems kind of short, but I really want to set the stage right so that you understand what the Bodhisattvas of the Earth means and how it's a direct reference to you and to me and to everyone we know. As I've said before, the implication in this teaching is that there isn't a human sentient mind on the planet that isn't one of these Bodhisattvas of the Earth. Many, many are completely ignorant to this fact. They absolutely do not know it. But if you and I, working as diligently as we are on our own awakening, our own Buddha-ness, to take over our Bodhisattva samsaric existence, if we carry this seriously with us all the time, we will awaken these people, little by little. And the more we do so, the more the Bodhisattvas of the Earth will start to bloom. And the more of them bloom, the more equanimous the planet, the world, the more peaceful, the more loving, the more beautiful the human experience will become. Because the more we enlighten, the less are ignorant. And it is the ignorant living in the lower realms that are creating the violence, the discord, the discord in meaning, I mean, discord just means an exchange of ideas, but the discord I'm referring to, the meaning of the discord is the disruption, the lack of dignity for human life, right? The avarice, the ego running rampant in Mapo, in our era. The only thing that can change this situation is your practice, Bodhisattva of the Earth. So there's plenty of motivation for our own self-experience of life. But not to add more responsibility on you, but to add more confidence on you, know that every step of the way that you work on your enlightenment, your Buddha-ness, your Bodhisattva path, you are affecting, influencing everything around you. All you have to do is remain confident. That's what this resource is for, the website, the books, all of it, to help you stay in contact with that precious. This is why I say, savor this practice with every daimoku. Remind yourself how vast the influence is of your sincere articulation, song of daimoku, right? Don't mumble through it. Don't be lazy about it. Why? If you're going to do it, do it. Take your time, like Nichiren says. Even if you can only chant, 100 daimoku in a day, that is precious. Chant it clearly. Chant it with conviction. If you have time to read the entire sutra, do so. But don't just whip through it like it's a speed reading course. Really absorb it, like we're doing right now. How incredible is this sensation of understanding, right? It makes it cellular in your body. So I look forward to chapter 16, The Lifespan of the Tathagata. This and Nichiren, how Nichiren is absolutely, that's his chapter, right? His favorite chapter. To him, this is the drop the mic moment, right? When Shakyamuni Buddha goes, okay, gloves are off. Get this. And boom, hits them right in the middle of their Buddha eye, right? Pay attention. So that's why I don't want to start it today. I want it to have its own video. In the meantime, think of how important you are. Keep your practice amazing, right? Keep it strong. I'm with you. You got questions? Let me hear them. Just expressing your thoughts answers you. I do that all the time. I get confused. I write something down. I see what I'm writing. I think about what I'm writing. By the time I'm done, I go, this is a stupid question. I know the answer. Right? Ever happened to you? Anyway, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying the exercise even of emailing me or writing out a comment, maybe you don't send it, but make the effort. And if you do send it, I will respond. Okay? Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. Be kind to yourself. This is a lot of stuff we're doing right now. So take care of your health, yeah? And I'll see you in the next one. No doubt about it. Bye for now.